Well, I want to talk over the next couple of weeks about the seven characteristics of a disciple of Christ. And tonight we want to talk about one who does the will of God. You know, when it's all said and done and we stand before God on that day, I believe one of the questions that He's going to ask is, did you do what I called you to do? Anybody with me? Yeah. It's not going to be my agenda that He's going to be looking at. I see that you set goals and you met every goal. Well, congratulations, here's your crown. How many know God's not going to do that? It's not our goals that we complete, it's His goals for our life. Paul, we get a picture of this when we see Paul called to be an apostle, this man that was chief of the Pharisees, that as far as touching the law was perfect. He said, I'm constrained to preach the gospel. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. And it seems that when we get a look into his heart, we see that he was doing something he wasn't actually wanting to do, but he was constrained to do. And that's what a bondservant is all about. We do the will of God, not our will. We can dress it up and make it look like our will. You know, look like God's will. We're doing God's will, but we're doing something that's convenient to us. And I know what some of that constraining is, and I want to pray before I get chasing things I'm not supposed to chase. Father, I ask for your Spirit to deal with us tonight, Lord, as we share from our heart, as we talk about these things. God, I know that, Lord, a disciple is what you've called us to be. As a matter of fact, you said if we wanted to be your disciple and follow you, God, that we must pick up our cross and follow you. Die to ourselves, die to the things we want and follow you. Lord, I somehow, when I look at that, I say, God, am I up for that? Am I a candidate for that? And then I realize that your word was written for every one of us. Educated, uneducated, good looking, fat, skinny, ugly. Lord, whatever it is, God, you've called us. You said, anyone that wants to be my disciple. And it's your will that we're looking for, Father. So Lord, tonight, just be part and parcel of everything we think and do and say tonight. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. The main concern with any Christian is doing the will of God. We can have other concerns, we can have other things, we can have other desires, we can have other prayers. We can ask God for a multitude of things. Sometimes my prayer list is longer than I need it to be because I've got all these requests that I want God to do. And somehow, some way, I sometimes think that I'm serving God, but He's actually serving me. God, do this, do that, put this in line, do that, and then He spanks me. Why do you think He spanks me? Anybody? Correct? Why else? I'm talking to God like He's an idiot, like He's not aware of what I need. Anybody else there? You have this whole list. You start praying to God. God, I have need of this. I have need of that. God, I didn't. God said, wait. I already know all that. I just want you to love me. I'll take care of that. I know you have that need. I just want you to learn from me. Walk with me. Do what I told you to do. Go serve someone else. I'll take care of your needs. Anybody like that? See, it makes me feel important when I have that list. Makes me feel good that I have a need for God. So I kind of got to let Him know. How many know God already knows? Doing the will of God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, in a broad statement, we want all that to take place. When we're talking about things, especially in an election year, we want God's will to be done. We want the right county commissioner. We want the right judge. We want the right Supreme Court justice. We want the right president. We want the right... Come on, somebody. We want men and women's bathrooms. We want everything to be politically correct. We want everything to be good. The will of God, especially in election, we want everything to be okay. God, I just want, that's it. I just want praying that your will be done. When we look at ourselves, though, we kind of like to sketch that differently. Your kingdom come, your will be done with everybody else, but with me, I want my will. We cannot be a disciple when we want our will and not God's. Cannot. We disqualify ourselves, we can't be. We may be a follower, but we're not a disciple. What's the difference? What's the difference between being a follower of Christ and a disciple of Christ? What's a follower do? Come on, somebody. Yes.
A disciple is an example to other people. And a follower is kind of follows us.
What do followers usually do? They go with the crowd. Don't they? Don't followers go with the crowd? Popularity. This is the popular thing to do, so everybody goes over here. Followers. Disciples stay on being. The wisest thing I ever got told by anybody is, old guy. I'm an old guy now, but this old guy was old when I wasn't old. He said, hear what God's telling you to do and get up on the ship and enjoy the breeze. Get on your boat, enjoy the breezes, but do not change the direction of your sail. Enjoy the breeze, enjoy the wind, enjoy the teaching, but you do what God called you to do. That's helped me more than anything else I've ever heard. It made sense to me then. It makes sense to me now. But there's a difference between being a follower and a disciple. The hosts of heaven have no problem doing the will of God. We are called to that same obedience. They do not have redemption. The angels don't have redemption. They do not have God living within them, but they do. They're ministers. They do the will of God. How many know the angels do the will of God? The creatures in heaven do the will of God. And we as children, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're supposed to do the will of God naturally. But we run into problems. Our walk of obedience is largely yielding to His power that works in us. That's the key. If we desire to do His will and we follow His will, He does it. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Ephesians 6:6, doing the will of God from the heart. And that heart is our mind, will, and emotions. Not the heart, the spirit. Because the spirit man is in love with God. God occupies us. But He's after our mind, will, and emotions to do what He called us to do. And we're in a generation. We're here, man. The thing, this big, great storm is coming. There's a thing happening in the spirit. There's warfare happening in the spirit. People are crying out. We're seeing the great awakening begin to happen from Azusa Street in California to there's in Seattle, Washington. There's been last month or so, there's been a tremendous outpouring of God's spirit. People being raised from the dead in South Carolina. I don't know if you're listening to this or hearing all this, but there's an upswing. There's a great groundswell of God saying, I'm going to do something. Who's going to be my disciple? I don't want followers. I want disciples. I want somebody that's going to do my will despite what... You're checking to see if the wind's right. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. I gotta move. Hebrews 13. And verse 20. Watch what it says. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will. Watch what it says now. This is the prayer, the writer of Hebrews, Paul, I believe, Paul the Apostle, and he's praying, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, he calls that into focus. He said, the God of peace I'm talking about raised the Lord from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now He calls us into covenant. He's setting the picture, make you complete in every good work to do His will. Completeness then is not being saved and baptized and going to church. It's culminated in doing His will. Being saved, being baptized, and going to church, that's important. It's important that we come together, but when we come together, we're equipped to go out and do His will. Come on, somebody. He said, I will build my church and gates of hell will not prevail. He said, you began a good work and you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what's He doing? Not only corporately is He doing, but individually, He's bringing everybody to the consensus that we've got to do His will in this hour. 1 John puts it like this. John the Apostle, he says, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. In 1 John 2:17, if you're taking notes, but he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. The promise of eternity is linked then with doing His will. Come on, somebody. We need to focus on what His will is. And if we're doing it, then this is all just rah-rah. Let's get to think where I'm doing His will. Yeah, good. But I'm not seeing it. Who's with me? Come on. I'm not seeing God's will played out in America. Things get worse. And the church, where's the church? Drinking Starbucks coffee in the lobby. Meanwhile, the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. So I'm asking myself in my devotion, I'm asking myself in my prayer time, I'm asking myself in my time of service, God, am I doing what You called me to do? And when God starts to pick on me, I like to change the subject. But God, I preach twice a week. I've got to study. I've got to, you know, God says, I know all that. I've got all that. The clarion call for our generation has been to enjoy all the benefits of the kingdom without the cost. We've been raised in a generation that says, enjoy the benefits of the kingdom, but there's no cost to it. God's already paid the cost. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there's a cost that God lovingly involves us with. And He says it all the time. Jesus said it all the time. He never said, y'all, I did everything for you. Y'all just enjoy. What did He say? He said, pick up your cross, die to yourself daily, and follow me. Woo. Come on, somebody. Is it hot in here or is it me? The will of God is the cause of all existence. The cost of discipleship is giving all over to God, period. There can be no exceptions. Never confuse, listen to me tonight, never confuse God's mercy and God's commandments. Never confuse the two. Because His mercy does not negate His commandments. The same God that forgives us and cleanses us and loves us and nurtures us, we run into Him, we get healed, and all of that. When all of that is taken care of, when God says, okay, are you all right now? I've got the same commandment for you. With no guarantee that it's not going to end up bad. All 11 disciples gave their heart, gave their life, and their blood to do God's will. God never promised them that they weren't going to have a hard time. The will of God is the cause of all existence. Everything exists because God willed it. Think about it. The stars, the moon, we just sang about it. The impact of that should bring every Christian to the decision of doing His will. He is all in all. And I think if we focus on that, and we just say, God, I'm going to do Your will, all the work will get done. God's not into programs. He's into people. Galatians 1:4 says this, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. He deliver us from the evil age and being leaders of delivering others. According to Ephesians 1:5, our salvation was because of God's will. So this all-important facet of the characteristics of a disciple is a must. We can't talk about being a disciple if we're doing our own agenda. It cannot be bypassed, and as a matter of fact, it's the first all-important step in being a disciple, period. In the late 1980s and early 90s, the church listened to the devil. Church in America started listening to the devil. Knock on every door, be a good neighbor, shorten your services, don't allow God to speak, don't allow the Holy Spirit. You don't want to offend anybody. If you want to do that, meet at somebody's house and speak in tongues and heal people. But on Sunday morning, you just need to turn yourself to being, you know, three songs and an amen. Never talk about people's sin, always talk about people's blessing. And it was a trend that started, and now we've got what we've got today. Come on, somebody. A lot of pomp and circumstance, but no content. And people aren't fooled by it anymore. The world never was. Jesus set the example of doing the will of God. John 4:34, he said to his disciples, when they came, he was talking to the woman at the well, and they came and said, "Have you eaten yet? You look like you're refreshed. Have you eaten yet?" Because they went to get food, you remember? They went in town to get food, and he talked to, how many remember? The woman at the well, the thing, the deal, the water and deal, and she ran, and they came. And remember that story? What did he say? He said in John 4:34, he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Ooh. My food is to do his will. And then in John 5:30, he said, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." I don't know about you, but I had a hard time when I started reading the Gospels. And God, and Jesus said, "I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to." Here's a guy that walks on water, turns water into wine, raises the dead, rebukes people, chases them out of the temple. Man, he's a pretty powerful guy. And then we get insight into his heart. He said, "All these things I've done, I did in the perfect will of the Father." And I wonder, just me, it's just me wondering, am I doing the will of the Father? Am I doing what I want to do? Quiet in here. Remember when I was a young youth pastor, I had a prophet come and prophesied over me and said, "Don't look anything as a vacation ever the rest of your life." Because we can rest a body, don't get me wrong, we got to rest a body and rest a mind. But we always got to be ready to be used of God. John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus said in Matthew 12 that those who did the will of the Father were his sisters and brothers. Remember when he was out, you know, he was out ministering and his family came and he was in the house and they couldn't get to him and they thought he was nuts and they sent word, you know, they passed a piece of paper, "Get Jesus, he's nuts." Remember that? And he's, your family's out there looking for you. And he said, "That's my family are the ones, my brother, my sister, my mother, are those that do my will." Crowds surrounded him before they left after he said they must eat his flesh. He knew their hearts. He knew their hearts. It's not in the crowds. Someone said there's no traffic jam on the second mile. The closer we get to God, the more room we have. Because there's not going to be a whole lot of people doing His will. I hope there is. Trust me. The doing of the will of God is, again, of utmost importance. It's anything outside of that is what? If you're not doing the will of God, if you're doing something outside of it, what's a good word for it? Who said that? Give that man a gold star. Anything outside of God's will is what? It's rebellion. Now, my Bible says rebellion is as the sin of... Wait a minute, don't talk to me like that. I've been coming to church a long time. I know my Bible. I've had I know Romans Road to Salvation. It got written right in my front of my Bible, and I carry tracts in my... Don't tell me I'm in rebellion. Preacher, you just crossed the line. You just call me... You're telling me I'm a witch now. I didn't say that. Anything outside of the will of God, this young man back here just said it, is rebellion. And my Bible says rebellion is as the same as sorcery and witchcraft. Because why? So let's think about it. Let's tear it down for a minute. Let's look at it. And maybe it will get worse so we won't do it again. Let's look at this thing. That's what's rebellion is. What's witchcraft? Come on, somebody. What's witchcraft? Somebody identify it for me. Work of the flesh. It's the manipulation in the spirit world without benefit of the Lord. Witchcraft is manipulating the spirit world without benefit of the Lord. If you're not here, come on. I remember Dave Wilkerson. How many of you remember Dave Wilkerson? A lot of people know him. He was the guy that wrote The Cross and the Switchblade, went to New York City, and blah, blah, blah. Great prophet of God. I remember he said when God called him to go to New York City, he was ministering in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. Packed. Church was packed every meeting. And he moved in some tremendous gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, called people out. And man, just the anointing was there. And when he knew God had called to New York City, he said, no, I don't want to go to New York City. This is a good thing here. Talk to me later about New York City. And he said he was in a meeting and he was calling people out. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. People were being healed. And here's what the Lord said. He said, you're a big phony. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to him right in the middle of service and said, you're a big phony. You're being used, but it's not me that's using you. You are being rebellious and you're moving in witchcraft. He said, nobody would have known the difference. Nobody knew the difference, but I knew the difference. I knew that what I was doing out of rebellion. When God called me to be in New York, I was comfortable in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. Thank God he heard God's voice. I'll let you guess what he did after that meeting. Loaded up the truck and he moved to Beverly. Drove a car out to New York City and lived in the car and started the ministry there. From a very productive and very powerful ministry. Jesus said in Matthew 12 that those who did the will of the Father were his sisters and brothers. And that's what we are. We're so when we do his will. How do we know, number one, in your notes, how do we know his will? We have spoken on this subject a lot, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. But number one, we must be seekers. If we're going to know God's will, we must seek him. What do you say? And when we seek him with all of our heart, we'll what? Find him. What if we seek him with part of our heart? Nature abhors a vacuum. We start filling in the blanks. And he rebuked the prophets in the Old Testament. He said, they say, thus saith the Lord, and I never spoke. On a national level, that seems terrible. On a personal level, it's hard to admit. Maybe I'm doing something that it's not God's will. So we must be seekers. Actively pursuing God daily. He's always there. Question is, are we? Seeking has to happen with all of our hearts. Many times throughout the word, all your heart is mentioned. That is because if you have a divided heart, you will serve no one. You are serving yourself if you have a divided heart. And the end of that journey, Scripture says, is shipwreck. We seek our own desires and our own lust. Secondly, we must be seekers. Secondly, we need to pray much. There's no substitute for prayer. Prayer is an active ingredient in the revelation of his will. That is where he speaks in prayer. When we pray, we are in a position to hear. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Position for prayer is position for instruction. It's when God is able to adjust our steps so that we're doing His will. So, not only seeking, but praying. And we must hear God's Word in Scripture, thirdly. We must hear His Word in Scripture. It's not enough to merely read, although that's good. We need to meditate on His Word and get confirmation after confirmation. Yes, I'm in the will of God. Psalm 119:48 says, "My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." Psalm 119:78 says, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts." Psalm 145 verse 5, "I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works." When we magnify God and His works, He takes care of our steps. We have no question as to what the will of God is in our life. Nancy was a little girl, slight little girl. She was had lost her husband, and she had two daughters. And she attended my home church. I was in an Assembly of God church, and Nancy would just every time you saw her, she was doing something about this. She was talking about the Lord. And it wasn't fake. You know how sometimes you're around somebody and it sounds contrived. Like they're trying to be spiritual. We don't know anybody like that, do we? You know what I'm saying? Everything. How are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed and highly favored. Nothing wrong with saying that, but if it's fake, come on, somebody. But Nancy, you could always tell she was just in love with the Lord. And Nancy was called to clean the church. That was her calling. And you'd catch her in the unguarded moment. You'd come into church on a Tuesday afternoon, and we had those old wooden pews, the long wooden ones. You know what I'm talking about? She'd be waxing them. She'd be cleaning them, praying in tongues. She wouldn't know you were there. Say, "Hey, Nancy." She'd go, "Hey, how you doing?" Now, we might have thought that the church grew and we were blessed out of just a small group of people. 12 of us went into full-time ministry. 12 out of 125 are still today in full-time ministry. That church exploded. Now it's about 5,000. But I'm convinced that the reason why I answered the call was partly due to that woman's faithfulness in doing the will of God. She wanted to do anything else. She wanted to teach Sunday school. She never got up and spoke. But man, when she cleaned the church, everything was pristine. It smelled like pine salt. Everything smelled like pine salt. She was a pine salt nut. She knew her calling. Come on, somebody. Twyla Douglas in the same church. She was about 80, she was about 83, 84 years old. And I taught a class on prayer. So we had a cleaning day. And she was up, she's 83, she's up on a stepladder scrubbing the wall with a brush. She's scrubbing the paneling. It was paneling downstairs, and I could still see her. She's scrubbing that thing. And I said, "Twyla, stop and let's have lunch." She goes, let me finish this wall. She's scrubbing this thing. And she got down and she sat down beside me and she pulled out her notes. She pulled out the notes from my teaching. Now this woman forgot more than I ever knew about God. And she said, I meditated on your teaching. And she said, "I've used that in my prayer closet. Thank you." She was a prayer warrior extraordinaire, but she wasn't trying to be anything else. She knew the will of God and she was teachable and she heard God's voice and was able to. Doing the will of God is so very important. And I am here because of women like Twyla Douglas. And Nancy, I forget her last name, and Clara Myers, who I'll talk about some other time, that prayed for me every day, knowing the will of God and doing what God called them to do. Fourthly, we need the help of other believers. We don't just gather together for convenience or tradition. We share one another's burdens and victories. I feel sorry for people that don't go to church. I really do. They say, "Well, I don't need to go to church." That's like saying you don't need to go to the grocery store. Well, I guess if you're a good farmer, you wouldn't have to. But I told Bill the other night, they were over and had fish. I said, I caught this fish. What I did was I made the grocer throw it at me so I could say I caught the fish. We need each other, see? Share one another's burdens. Share one another's victories. Share in the corporate anointing so that when we leave, we're built up. See, we're determined to do God's will. We need to have our minds renewed. Romans 12:2. By the renewing of your mind, be changed by the renewing of your mind that you'll not only know, but you'll prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Matter of fact, turn to Romans 12:2. Very quickly. I promise I'll close early. Romans 12:2. Everybody okay? Still like me? Have I gone from preaching to meddling? Meddling, M-E-D-D-L-I-N-G, meddling. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, underline good, and put one right above it. And acceptable, underline acceptable, and then put two above it. And perfect will of God. I want you to watch. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God are three levels. The good will of God is the outer court. It's just being in the presence of God. Just kind of hanging around the altar, you know, sacrifice. Come on, somebody. Are you there? You're there, you know, you're in a holy place, but you're not quite, you haven't went to the golden laver, you haven't washed, you're not going into the holy place. Where the priests go, where the showbread is, the acceptable will of God. Now you've moved from just doing the good will of God, now you're doing the acceptable will of God. And God is enticing us, calling us. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. I want you to come do my perfect will. Three is the Holy of Holies. Where we out of our spirit, man, command the body, soul, and spirit. Command our mind, will, and emotions to line up with the perfect will of God. Right there it is. Perfect will of God. That will not only know, but will prove. You may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Many people get into the good will of God, and it's nice. They buy a piece of ground, build a house. I'm here. I'm in the will of God. Leave me alone. But how many know God wants us to do, and you can do that, you can cross-reference that with Jesus saying some would go 30, some 60, some 100-fold. 30, outer court, 60, holy place, 100, holy of holies. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, outer court, the truth, holy place, the life, the holy of holies. Come on, somebody. Anybody there? That's free tonight. When your mind is renewed, you can hear His voice and know His will. We stay renewed by, number one, not being conformed to this world. Number two, surrendered totally to God. Now, how do we do His will? Well, it's one thing to know His will. How do we do His will? We must take action. It's just doing what God told us to do. Being brave enough to move out. And do it and see the results. Come on, someone. Man, the first time you walk up to a stranger and you say, yeah, I see you're limping. Can I pray for you to be healed? That's scary. Anybody ever done that? Just kind of walked up to somebody and says, you know, I want to pray for you. I believe God can heal you. You're hearing God's voice and you're saying, go pray for that person. Doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Turn with me to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. How to be a disciple of Christ. The seven characteristics of a disciple of Christ. This is our very first. This is our very first step. The first step on this seven-step rise to wherever we're going to be when we complete this idea, this thing that the Word is showing us clearly, this is now the first step. This is the first step. It doesn't look like anything like we've been on, and maybe we've been here before, but God wants to take us beyond doing His will to actually accomplishing things. Come on, someone. So we're on this step. Matthew 7:24, here's what Jesus said. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, I take umbrage with that when I read this. Sometimes I want to say, God, could I be on that rock and not have any wind and rain and flood? Is that okay? Could you build a shelter so I don't get rained on? Get wind blew in my... Come on, somebody. What's this say? You're going to build on the rock, you're still going to have winds and storms and rain. And people get discouraged all the time. I pray with people and they say, well, I don't know what's happening to me. I'm serving God, I'm being obedient, and I'm getting hit. Hello? Welcome to the kingdom. So we're still going to get hit. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. God says you're still going to get rained on. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine that does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So what's this say? What's the difference between the houses? It's the foundation. So does that mean the foundation makes the house, or the house makes the foundation? Foundation makes the house. So what's the foundation of our walk? Doing what? Doing His will. That's the foundation. Because both people build His house on the sand. It doesn't say anything derogatory about the house. Same house. Maybe the same architectural design. Come on, somebody. Two Christians grow up in the same community, go to the same church. One has all kinds of victory, even though they've been attacked left and right. The other one, all they ever do is complain. Rebuilding the house all the time. What are you doing? I'm rebuilding the house. The kitchen fell in, the living room fell in. Well, did you check your foundation? There's a time of seeking and asking. After we hear His word, then we do it. James 1:22 says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Wow. Let me read that again slowly. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So how do we do His will? Number one, we must take action. Number two, we must endure. Hang in there. I used to have a picture of a kit. Anybody ever seen the little kitten hanging on a limb and it says, hang in there? Remember that? I'm going back old stuff now. I used to have that thing. I used to love that because I found out that a lot of times I was hanging by my fingernails and trying to do what God called me to do. Anybody ever felt like that? Feel like I'm just hanging in there, but I'm bound and determined to do Your will. I remember I spent a while on like 40 days or something praying and fasting, and I was seeking direction for a church I was pastoring at the time. And I heard God so clearly. I started drawing. If you know anything about me, I can't even draw a stick man. I just can't do it. I mean, draw a stick man, you would say, what's that? I mean, it just doesn't even look like my granddaughter does a better job of drawing than I do. And I started drawing on the back of a piece of paper, and I drew this whole thing, and it was God. It was God. I just got all this revelation, and it was after the fast, you know, I get together with the elders of the church, and I said, man, God's given me this thing. And they said, well, work on it, pray. So I went away. I went away for a week, and I drew everything up, and I had all these papers, man, and I had a thing, and I had a design, and I felt like God said, okay, take this step, take that step, take this step. Train your leadership. Spend time with your leadership. Don't give it away. Tell your leadership to keep it straight, and then you'll share it with the church, and so I did. The first 6 weeks, all I did was spend time with my leadership. They got tired of seeing me. I got tired of seeing them. But we knew it was smack dab in the middle of God's will. It was in the middle of God's will, and then I began to teach the church. This is our thrust. This is what we're going to do. We're going to evangelize. We're going to reach out. We're going to leave our comfort zone. We're going to spend lots of money, and we're going to save souls. And I knew it was the will of God. I knew that God had spoken to me. I knew each step I took was a solid rock. And it failed miserably. Every attack imaginable. We had best friends that were close to us for 8-9 years turn and walk away. Never saw us again. The winds blew. The storm came. And I was done. I got together with the elders and I said, what was that? Did I miss God? And then I go back, I start looking at these papers and I say, God, was this you or was it? This was me. And he went through all of that so he could get rid of people that didn't catch the vision that he originally gave. That was the only way that they were going to go. And then we could rebuild. Hard lesson to learn. Hard lesson to learn. Hard lesson to learn. And if you don't think I didn't go back and check my file, say, God, did I build this on a rock or on sand? It was a year and a half of my life gone. Miserable. I'm not talking about... And it was a failure that was very public. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever been through anything like that? Come on. Don't let me feel alone now. You did something, you felt it was the will of God. And it was... But you realized can I tell one more story? Is it all right? Rodney Hart Brown. How many know Rodney Hart Brown? I'm going to tell a story on a public story on Rodney Hart Brown. I was in a meeting in Long Island, New York. A place called the Upper Room. Packed. We were in revival. We had revival 30 days in a row. So I had this guy that used to be with... Anyway, we had... So we took a break and we went up to Long Island. And that night, place was packed. And Rodney got up to speak. And they had... Now understand now. This is public. I'm not telling any stories on Rodney. But, yeah... We'd been there, and there'd been like 6 or 8 shofars being blown. And so he got up and he said, that sounds like a bunch of old cows dying. And what do you guys think you're doing? We're not in the old covenant. We're in the new covenant. What are you blowing those shofars for? And about 4 or 5 people got up and left. He said, yeah, that old religious stuff. He said, it's kind of like, no... Don't shoot the messenger. He said, that's kind of like going in the bathroom and I won't even say what he said. But he offended like 10 more people. 15 more people got up and left. Then I'll never forget, he was standing at the Pope and I'm going, where's this guy going with this? I'm ready to leave myself. I drove all the way from Philly up to New York City. I'm poking this guy and my elder and I'm going, let's get the heck out of here, man. And then he said, his eyes get real big and he says, now's a good time for you to go. Everybody will think you're going because of what I just said, but you can go now. And about 5 or 6 more people got up and walked out. And as honest as I can be, as soon as there's these big doors that they went out of, as soon as those doors closed, the Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost fell. Power of God fell. People were falling on the floor. People got up screaming, were healed. We had us a Holy Ghost meeting for the next 3 hours. What did Rodney do? He did the will of God. Even when it seemed like this guy's lost his mind. Proof was in the pudding, man. Very rare that I've ever felt the power of God like that. It's enduring. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Now watch what it says, because I take umbrage with this. I do. I take questions with this. God, I wish you'd have worded that different. Like, it would have sounded great. God, maybe I do a little editing here. "For you have need of endurance so that after you have started the will of God, you may receive the promise." No, it says right here, "You have done the will of God," past tense, "you received the promise." So God tells you, if you'll follow me, I'll give you the answer to the prayer. You prayed this prayer, whatever it is, and the answer to the prayer is coming. In the meantime, I want you all to do all this. And after you've done the will, there's the promise. But isn't it, don't we want to start the will of God? God, I'm starting the will of God. I'm starting your will. God, just pour out the promise. God said, don't work that way. There is a real temptation to give up when the going gets rough. We see that every year in January, February. New Year's resolution. I stopped doing it about 10 years ago because I disappointed myself every time I did a New Year's resolution. Come on. Do a New Year's resolution on the 1st and on the 10th, you're eating that Hershey bar. We must persevere. I know what I'm talking about. I weighed 350 pounds at one time. I started the will of God many times. If it wasn't for candy, ice cream, peanut butter, and Diet Pepsi, I'd have made it too. There's a real temptation to give up when the going gets rough. We must persevere. We must endure. Because endurance brings stamina. If we do it long enough, we'll have stamina, staying power, staying with God. It gives us a hearing ear and a seeing eye in the Spirit. When we begin to do the will of God and we walk in the will and we know His voice and we see where we're going, it gives us the seeing eye and hearing ear. That's why Jesus said, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying." It involves absorbing criticism and strife and walking in love and peace. One of the things you've got to have is guts when you know you're doing the will of God and everybody's criticizing you around you and you know you've heard from God, stay the course. Come on, someone. Anybody that criticizes you that much doesn't have your best interest at heart, doesn't have the Lord's best interest at heart. I'm not talking about rebellious, doing your own will and making it sound like the will of God. I'm saying when you know it's the will of God, you go and do it, God will bring it to pass. Man, when people were leaving the church, and I had 9 families leave the church one Sunday. 9 families just walk out. You know what happened? The next Sunday, I had 10 new families. And all of them stayed. But man, that Sunday when 9 families walked out, I'm talking about some people. Where are you going? We're leaving. You don't think I heard the voices of reason? You talk about resigning, preaching on Sunday and resigning on Monday. Lastly, and I'll close with this, I promise. We need supernatural strength. We need supernatural strength. Allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, especially in this day. You know, I don't know why I'm being so strong on this. I'm talking to people that know more about you. There's 90% of you could preach this message. And when there's a finger pointed at you, there's 4 pointing back at me. Do you understand where I'm coming from? My calling as I see it is to stimulate conversation in your spirit to bring you in the line with the will of God. That's what I'm here to do. I'm not here to say that you're not doing it. It could very well be that you're doing it. You're doing a better job than me, and if you are, pray for me. But I'm not seeing it corporately. I'm not seeing it the way I think that God wants it to be. God doesn't want to belabor the point of His kingdom coming. I believe it with all my heart. He doesn't want to see one more baby dead. He doesn't want to see one more person die without Christ. He doesn't want to see that. God's willing that none should perish. His compassion is absolutely oozing on the body right now. And we're absorbing it for our own lusts. Fine buildings, nice talk, good preaching, good music. Let's go home. And God says, no, I'm asking you to do my will, to be the light, to be the beacon, to die to yourself, to follow me. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. God, give us joy to do your will. Not only doing your will and suffering, not only doing your will and putting up with the wind and the rain and the thing and the deal and things falling apart and you having to rebuild and you're not seeing it and people leaving and then you don't even realize that people are leaving so other people can come. God wants to win souls. He's not into religion. He's into relationship. He's into kingdom building. He's not into church building. He's building His kingdom. Yeah, I was reading the other day with Paul. And he's saying this. He's saying, people preach Jesus out of strife. Some preach Jesus out of division. I praise God Jesus is preached. I said, man, that's maturity. Come on, somebody. May we have the temerity and the boldness to be people of God's will. Despite what anybody else says, we're going to do His will. Amen. We resolve inside of us as individuals, I'm going to do God's will, come what may. Father, I thank You tonight that come storm, come rain, come hell, come whatever, God, we are determined in our hearts to do Your will. Matter of fact, I challenge myself tonight and others that might be listening. God, if they've not checked out yet, Lord, I want to do Your will. I want to be the person that stands on that day when You ask me what I did with my life, that I can say with all confidence and boldness, Lord, I did Your will. I did what You called me to do. That's all. In the end product, that's all You're asking. God, You're not going to judge us by the house we live in or by the car we drive, the clothes we wear, the words we learn, the scripture we memorize. You are judging us on that day for every work and every word that came out of our mouth. And so, God, Lord, on this side of eternity, on this side of heaven, or especially in this hour when You're calling Christians to active duty, call our church, call New Life, call the members of New Life, call the people that we influence. Let us be a people that are doing Your will. Have that tipping point where people that come say, if I'm going to be part of this church, I'm going to be part of this house, I'm going to be doing the will of God. Father, we ask for mature disciples to come. Make us mature to set the example. Help us be soul winners, God. Help us in the coming storm to do and say what You ask us to do and say. I believe with all my heart that if we do that, You'll take care to bring everything into focus. Everything into focus. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.